Thank you, Josh, for a great song service this morning. We appreciate you and appreciate all of you that are here this morning. You know, when you think about the power of the blood, you have to think about the word baptism. Baptism is that very act by which we are buried with Christ and where we come in contact with the precious saving blood of our Lord and our Master. Baptism is as simple as 1, 2, and 3. It's so simple that even young children grasp the idea of being baptized at an early age. Some want to do the right thing even when they have no sin. I've seen children when they were 4 and 5, maybe 6 years old, who were so moved by the death of Christ on the cross and wanting to be right with God, who wanted to experience New Testament baptism because it is so simple. Do you know Jesus himself was baptized? He was baptized not for sin, but to fulfill all righteousness, Matthew chapter 3. And if you read the Hebrew letter, chapter 4 and verse 15, the Bible says that Christ was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Now that's why we know that Christ was not baptized for the purpose of remitting sin, but he was baptized, as the scripture says, for the purpose of fulfilling all righteousness. Jesus gave what we call the Great Commission in the book of Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. When he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." Now Christ gave that as a law for you and me, just as well as it was for those who lived in the hearing of his voice and for the proclamation that was given by the disciples themselves. He gave the Great Commission. Probably one of the most debated religious subjects is that of baptism. It is. When a person is baptized, however, there are 3 things that are involved. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answering of a good conscience toward God." But what are those 3 things that are involved when one is baptized? I would tell you foremost and right up front that baptism is giving something. It is. Do you know that when you are baptized, you are giving up your life to serve him? But when you give up your life to serve God, you actually become the victor through it all. For Jesus said, "What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Matthew 16, 26. People give a lot of things to sacrifice their soul on the altar. They will sacrifice their soul for money. They will give up their soul for money. They will give up their soul for popularity. They will give up their soul for material things. They will give up their soul for other people. And so we will be involved in giving something to God when we are baptized. A person is buried with Christ. The Bible talks about those in Ephesians 4 and 19 who have given themselves over to lasciviousness. In baptism, a person gives all that he has of his life unto God. And when you read the accounts of men and women being baptized in the book of Acts, you will find that every one of them were willing to sacrifice their lives to honor and to please God. It would be ludicrous for anyone to hold anything back. For Jesus would teach that if a man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. And if we're going to follow Christ, then we must be willing to pick up our cross. Let me tell you something this morning. You are following and you are giving to one of two. You are either giving unto God or you are giving unto Satan. One of those two. You're either serving God or you're serving Satan. In Matthew 16, 24, though, Jesus spoke of self-denial. He said that if we're going to become Christians and we're really going to follow him, then we have to deny ourselves and then pick up the cross and follow him. And that cross would lead to death itself. Sometimes people want to pick up the cross without dying. Some people want to carry it ornamentally. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people take glory in the cross. But the cross was for the purpose of dying. Now today it has become many things to many people. People sometimes will wear that cross around their neck. They may have it hanging from the rearview mirror in their car. It may grace the church building where you meet somewhere. People honor the cross. But sometimes we carry the cross, but we're unwilling to die to self that we might honor Christ with all that we do. Again, Jesus said, if a man would come after me, let him deny himself, and then let him take up the cross and follow me. The real question is, are you willing to follow Christ? That is the real question this morning. In the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 4 through 6, the Apostle Paul says, we are therefore buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know, it would be hard to wear a smile in life if we knew that we were out of a covenant relationship with God. That's why it's so important for us to be Christians. God wants us to be a happy people, but there are many that are unhappy in today's world simply because they have not picked up the cross, they have not denied self, they think only of self. We live in a selfish world, and Jesus said that we must die to self and follow him. The cross Jesus asked us to carry is not for display. Many carry the cross sometimes through the streets of our country. You've seen them. How they'll go walking down the highway and they'll be dragging a cross behind them. That's not what Christ is talking about at all. When Christ carried that cross to Golgotha, he knew that he was going to die. And he knew that he was going to shed his blood. And it is dying to sin in a figurative sense and giving one's heart to God. That's what the cross is all about. And Jesus in the book of Matthew 15 and verse 8 says, they praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, a lot of people sometimes will glorify God. They talk about how much they love the Lord. They lift their hands to heaven and they talk about Jesus and they talk about spiritual things. But down deep inside in the deep reservoir of their heart, they're not very close to God at all. Sometimes people in an assembly like we have gathered here this morning often sing and we talk about how much we love God or Lord take control as we were singing a moment ago. But what we do is we want him to take control while we're here. But God, when I walk out of the doors of this building, I want to take control once again. But we must give complete control unto God wherever we are in our walk through this journey or through life. We often sing that old song, I gave my life to thee. In Acts 3 and verse 6, it was Peter and John who spoke to that lame man and said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee. Do you know in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said that when we give to the less fortunate, that we're giving unto him. And when a person becomes a Christian and when he is buried with Christ in baptism, number one, it is giving something. And if a person is not prepared to give himself to God, he is not prepared as a candidate for baptism. Now, sometimes people go through it. People want to go through the act. And that's why people go down into the water, a dry center, and come up a wet one, because there is no change that has taken place. But not only do we give something in baptism, the Bible says in baptism we receive something as well. Those who give themselves in baptism receive three specific things. Did you know that when you are baptized into Christ, you will receive salvation? Now I'm going to tell you something. Jesus paid for your salvation at the cross. He did. But it is up to us to respond to his call. It is up to us to save ourselves. And that's why the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and following talks about the fact that we are to save ourselves from this crooked and untoward generation. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And then Colossians 2 and verse 6, "As you have received Christ, walk therein." You know, I'm so thankful for my salvation today. And if you've been saved, I know that you must be grateful and thankful for your salvation also. But it is truly a gift of God, salvation. But then there's another thing that we receive, and that is the forgiveness of our sins. To know that we have the hope of going to heaven because our sin has been forgiven. Do you know the Bible in the book of James details for us how we become sinners? He said that man is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. And his lust will bring forth sin. And then his sin will bring forth death. That means we would not have the privilege of ever going to be with God in heaven. But thank God this morning that we can go there because our sin has been forgiven. And the reason it's so important is because sin cannot enter heaven. And if a man is a sinner and he has not given his life unto God or to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no way he can go to heaven. Forgiveness of sin. Remission of sin. Acts 2 and verse 38. And then thirdly, one of the things that you and I receive from God is a new start. You know, I'm thankful for the new start. It means that we have the opportunity to just turn our life completely around and start living in a different fashion. I have seen so many people through the years in my 40 years here at Crockett Road, and I mean this sincerely, I have seen people in Palestine turn their life completely around. They have left the sinful walks of life to become children of God, and today they're living the righteous life before our Savior, and I praise God for them. And they're not only living that life for themselves, they're living that life for others also, because they are letting their light shine, and they have become a tremendous example for other people. That new start is the same thing that Jesus mentioned in the book of John 3, verse 3 through 5. When a man by the name of Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he said, "Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him." And Jesus said, "I say unto thee, Nicodemus, you must be born again." And he asked that question of Jesus, "Well, how can I be born again? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb?" And Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit." When a person is baptized into Christ, he is born of two elements. And I want you to think about this. He is born of water. Then he is born of the Spirit. You can no more be scripturally baptized just to be baptized in water without the Spirit than you could be baptized, as some say today, in the Spirit and not be baptized in water. For the again birth involves both of them. A person goes down into the water and he is lowered in that water. By the way, that's what baptism really is. It's not sprinkling, it's not pouring water on someone's head, but it is actually going down into the water to experience a symbolic death. You know, when you bury someone, you don't just go out and sprinkle dirt on them, but you bury them in the ground. And when we are buried with Christ in baptism, according to the book of Romans chapter 6, and we are lowered in water, and we are completely submerged, completely covered, and then raised out of that water in the likeness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And when we are baptized and when we are lowered in that water, the Bible says we come up out of that water and the Spirit of God comes upon us and in us. In a real sense, much like the Spirit of God descended on Jesus when he was baptized. Now keep this in mind, Jesus was not baptized for the remission of sin. But the Bible says that God spoke from heaven as the Holy Spirit descended on him in the likeness of a dove. And God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know what? I can just almost see that spiritual dove of God descending upon every newborn child of God when they are baptized into Christ and when they come up out of that water, and it descending on them. Let me tell you why I believe that is true. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Peter again said in the book of Acts chapter 2, to those who wanted to know how to be saved, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit of God does not come into you prior to baptism. A lot of people teach that today, that one becomes a Christian before he is baptized. And it's so important to get it in sequence, folks. If it's done in the wrong reason, it will always be done in the wrong reason. It will never be for the right reason. Time doesn't change the wrong reason. It is so important that a person be baptized into Christ and then raised out of that water and the Spirit of God come into us. So important to understand that. And that's really the way Christ taught it, wasn't it? It really was. And when you understand what the New Testament teaches about baptism, you understand that it is receiving a new start. And you truly understand what it means to be born again. Think about this just a minute. The Bible says, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And he explains this now. And he says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You don't put on Christ before baptism, but you put on Christ after baptism. You get into Jesus, according to Romans chapter 6, and then he gets into you. When you are baptized in water, Christ comes into you when you come up out of that water. It's like a new start. Think about it, folks. Everything begins with water. It does. Even this earth did. It was baptized. It was born out of water. Again, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep and said, let the dry land appear. And so the earth begins to emerge. You know, the majesty of God is something to behold. Even the earth was born out of water. And the second time it was born out of water, because God flooded the earth and said, I'm going to give the earth a new start. And he flooded it, and then the earth began to emerge once again in the days of Noah. Everything. You had your birth of water the first time. Did you know it? You were housed in your mother's womb. And when her water broke and you started down the birth canal, you came into this world. You were born of water the first time. And Jesus says, the second time you must be born of water. Born again of the water and of the Spirit. Well, not only does it involve, baptism involve giving something and receiving something, but thirdly, it involves becoming something. In the book of John 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, as many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God. Think about it. As many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. Now think about this. Not just because you receive God. You ever heard people say today, well, all you got to do is just receive Jesus in your heart. That's counter to what the book of first or John 1 and verse 12 says. Now listen to it again. He says, for as many as receive him, sounds good, doesn't it? He says, to as many as receive him, gave he the power to become. If you were already there, he wouldn't give you the power to become something that you already are. But he says, to them that receive him, gave he the power to become the sons of God. Again, I refer you to the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. The Bible again says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You know, the women in this audience would understand this. You would. You didn't put on your husband's name until you were joined to your husband in marriage. One day you decided you were going to get married. You had your maiden name. But when you went through the act of a civil or spiritual ceremony, and you were pronounced husband and wife, from that moment on, you took on the role of being the wife of your husband, and you took his name. Now, the way that we take the name of Christ is when we go through the act of baptism, which is a spiritual marriage to Christ. That's really what it is. We become Christians in baptism, children of God. It is becoming something. But there's something else you need to understand. We do become his children. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3 and verse 1. In baptism, a person strips off the old robe, the old garment of self. And then he puts on that new nature of Christ. Verse 27. For again, 1 Peter 3:21 says, it is a like figure wherein even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. So what happens is that we become something. We become children of God, and then secondly, and not subsequent to it, but we become members of the Lord's church. How'd you become a member of the church? You ever stop to think about that? You became a member of the church of Jesus when you were baptized. You didn't become a member of the church just because you believed in Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. There are people walking the streets of this city today that believe in Jesus. They're just not serving him. And they're not his children. They've never made a dedication to Christ. They've never made a profession of their faith. They've never been baptized for the remission of their sin, to receive Christ and to receive his blessings and to become a Christian. But what happens is when a person is baptized into Christ, he simultaneously becomes a member of the church. Now think about this a moment again. If we can go back to the family, here's an analogy. When you were married to your husband, or whether when you were married to your wife, you were joined together in a relationship that was called wedlock. And that wedlock not only made you the mate of your loved one, but it brought you together in their family. You are now a son-in-law. You are now a daughter-in-law. Your in-laws may not claim you, but you are an in-law. You were married into the family. And that's why people often say, when you marry your wife or when you marry your husband, you are marrying the family. And you are. And when you are baptized into Christ and when you are married to the Lamb of God and you're scripturally baptized, you are married to the church family for which he died. That's how you become a member. You don't have to vote on someone whether or not they're going to be a member of the church when they become a Christian. You don't have to take a cast of lots to determine whether or not those folks can be a part of the church for which Jesus died. Folks, if Jesus died for the church and he shed his blood, then I have no right to deny others the privilege of being in the kingdom. In the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says that when they became Christians, that the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Who did it? God did it. He put them in the kingdom, just like he puts Christ in your life. He puts you in the kingdom of God. But the Bible says that they praised God and they had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. But some are baptized in the wrong way and for the wrong reason. You know, some are baptized for the wrong reason and in the wrong way. Now, there are some who would teach you today that baptism involves just putting water on someone's head. But that's not scriptural baptism. The word baptism is a word, there was no really translated word for baptism. It is a transliterated word. But it means to plunge, to dip, to submerge, to cover. That's what baptism really is. And when a person is scripturally baptized, he is lowered in water. Little babies don't need to be baptized anyway. How do I know that? Well, Jesus said in the Gospels, in the book of Luke 18, also Matthew, he said, "Allow the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." You know, we have a lot of babies in this church. And I thank God for every one of them. And we have some more on the way, and that's wonderful. This church is growing. Now, what I'm telling you, though, is I have never encouraged, admonished any of the young parents in this church with babies to bring them up here and let me put water on their head. Never encouraged that. Not important to do it, first of all. It's not scriptural baptism. And secondly, they're not candidates for baptism, for Jesus said that baptism involves one believing in God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, so if a baby can't believe, all he's thinking about is his next meal. Now, at least that was the way it was with my kids. Now, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Got to believe and then be baptized. But isn't it interesting that in the New Testament that they had no difficulty understanding what baptism was really all about? John baptized near Enon, the Bible says. Even when John was baptizing, the forerunner of Christ, the Bible says that he was baptizing near Enon, the river Jordan, because there was much water there. Didn't take just a little water, it took a whole lot of water. Because that's what baptism really is. Now, I know some people say, well, I just can't see that as a real major issue. Well, I'm going to tell you something. And that's fine, that's the way you believe. But I'm going to tell you something. I choose to believe it the way God said it. And if he said it, I believe it, I accept it, and I want to do it. And I want to do it in the right way. There are some people today who believe that the way that you get married is not going through some kind of civil ceremony, but that you can live together for 7 or 8 years in the state of Texas and experience what they call common law. That's not the way I chose to do it. That's not the way that the law of the land really wants you to do it. And I'm going to tell you something else. Just coming to church does not make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. It doesn't. The way that you become a child of God is by believing in Christ and being baptized for the remission of your sin and being baptized in the right way. It's so important. I know a lot of people say today, well, my greatest problem is for all these young children who want to be baptized. And I'll tell you this too, and I know that young children, age 8, 9, 10, some of them are very moved by the teaching of Jesus Christ. And some people say, well, I'm real apprehensive about these young children being baptized. You know what gives me greater apprehension? Are adults who know what to do and do not do it. Jesus is moved by little children who want to come to him. That's why he said, allow the children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. But what happens is that we have adults who hear it over and over and over again, and it goes in one ear and out the other, and we do nothing about fulfilling the will of God. And a church, whichever kind it happens to be, has no right to make a law of any type. Jesus said, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Did you know that baptism is the law of Christ? Now I'm going to explain something to you right quickly. I know we're going just a little beyond. They're still cooking a brisket. Don't get uptight. In the book of Acts 2 in verse 21, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A lot of people say, well, that just means this come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That's not what it means. Let me tell you what it means. And I'll show you from the Word of God what it means. In the book of Acts chapter 22 in verse 16, The Bible tells us of the Apostle Paul. Well, he was Saul before he was baptized. God changed his name, changed his relationship, gave him a new name. And Saul had been a persecutor of the church. He'd been denying the truth for all these years. And now he hears the word of the master on the road to Damascus. And he goes into the city and a preacher comes to him named Ananias. He starts preaching to him and telling him how to be saved and why baptism is so important. And he finally turns to Saul and he says, "And Saul, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord." Go back and read it, folks. How do I call on the name of the Lord? In the act of New Testament baptism. It is not enough to say, "Lord, Lord." For in the book of Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." You know, over the last week, we've seen tremendous turmoil in Japan. Horrible earthquakes. We've seen tsunamis. Terrible, terrible thing. Did you know that many of those people went to sleep one night only to awaken the next morning engulfed in water? Water that led to their death. Death can come at any moment. And I'm telling you, folks, I'm prepared to tell you that because it has happened to many in this congregation and many in this community whose memorial service I have spoken at. Went to bed one night, went to sleep, never to awaken and see the dawn of a new day. Death can come at any moment. Your casket may already be lying in state at Bailey Foster or Harrington Land of Memory, even now as I speak. You may be in your casket in the next few days because death can come at any moment. There is no lease on life. And the real issue and the real question is, are you prepared to be laid away? But are you prepared to meet God? Jesus died for the sins of the world. He loved the world so much. He wraps his arms around the world because he loves you and he loves me. And he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor," in Matthew 11 and verse 28. "Those that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls." If he died for your sin, and he loved the world, and he gave his own blood that you might be a part of a relationship that does not have to end at death. As I've told you before, a man is no fool to give up what he cannot keep, to hold on to that which he does not have to lose. But the real question is, are you willing to follow him? And that, my friend, is the most important question I could ask you this morning. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you renounced your sin? And have you confessed Christ? You may have a pre-need at the funeral home, but I'm going to tell you something. There is a greater pre-need. When you stand before the throne of God, the greater need will be for Jesus to honor you by confessing your name as his child. And he said, if we confess him before men, that he will confess us before the Father who is in heaven. And yet he that denies me, I will deny before the Father in heaven. And this morning, if you're a Christian and you know you haven't been following the Master, you haven't been giving allegiance to Christ, this morning would be a good time to turn your life around and ask for the prayers of the Lord's church here, that God may help you get back on that straight and narrow once again. And if you're not a Christian, do not delay, do not put off obeying Christ and sealing your relationship with Him in that act of baptism that puts us into Him and into His kingdom, while we stand and while we sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the